you're able to join us this morning at Faith Fellowship, and if you're joining us through Facebook, we're glad as well. This morning we're going to talk about a surrendered life. When you talk about a surrendered life, you know, I think of my childhood watching Westerns, you know, and once the Lone Ranger had him pinned or whatever, you know, had his little fist fight of the week, the bad guys would surrender. But it's interesting that God asks us to surrender. And when you say, why in the world would God say surrender, you're not a bad guy. Well, you're not a bad guy, but the things in us are. Our flesh, our carnal nature, just our habits are often contrary to God's will and God's purpose for our lives. Amen? And so we need to live a surrendered life, surrendered to the will of God. So we're going to look at a few characteristics of a surrendered life this morning. But before we do, let's just go ahead and pray. Father, we pray for those watching by Facebook, those here at Faith Fellowship Church. We pray for anyone in the sound of my voice that we would invite your Holy Spirit to electrify the reality of your word this morning, that we need a surrendered life to be all that you would have us to be. We know, Lord, there's nothing we can do in our own strength, our own power, by our own will, but only by the power of your Holy Spirit can we really do and be the men and women of God you've called us to be. So we invite your Holy Spirit to equip us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The first aspect of a surrendered life is a life of consecration. The word consecration means to set apart or dedicate to the service of God. We are to be dedicated to God. When you think about being dedicated, it means no matter what comes, no matter what the situation, you're dedicated to God. You ever heard the term fair weather friend? A fair weather friend is someone who's your friend as long as everything's going right, but when you say, hey man, I'm broke, well, all of a sudden they're not around anymore. Oh, he wants my money, you know. That's not really a friend at all, is it? And so a true friend of God is someone who's consecrated to God or dedicated to the service of God. A good example is found in Exodus 32:29. Moses told the people of Israel, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And so we see consecration is not a bad word. Consecration is a word that leads to blessings in our life. And when we consecrate ourselves, really dedicate, really promise to be the person God wants us to be, it's the path of blessings. Amen? It's not something bad. It's something good. Praise the Lord. And of course, also in Romans 12:1, Paul beseech us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so a surrendered life is something, again, that is a living sacrifice. It's just a daily sacrifice. And it's often sometimes an hourly sacrifice or a minute-by-minute sacrifice in certain circumstances. And Paul is beseeching us, he said, by the mercies of God. Again, we prayed earlier, there's no way we can do this in our own strength. Amen? I can't do it in my own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. We need the mercies of God to help us live this surrendered life. Hallelujah. Some examples of consecration. You remember they sent in 12 spies to survey the land, and only two of them believed that they could take the land. These were Joshua and Caleb. And we read in Numbers 32:12, save, of course, the text means except for, you know, these other guys were fearful except for Caleb and Joshua. for they had wholly followed the Lord. There's that wholly followed. That's what consecration is, just wholly following the Lord. Every ounce of you, every bit of energy in you, wholly following the Lord. You know, I think about people who, you know, wake up in the morning and say, well, you know, I got a headache and I was out late last night. I don't really think I'll go to church today. You know, wholly following the Lord says, I got to go to church. You know, we have jobs and we go get up and go to our job. And sometimes we don't feel like it, but it's our job. We'll lose our job, but we say, well, I won't lose my job if I don't go to church. Pastor won't kick me out, and I wouldn't. But are you going to be that kind of person? Are you going to wholly follow the Lord? Amen? Oftentimes, as pastors, when I talk to people who are struggling, and I'll tell them about, you know, like how a doctor writes out prescriptions, and I'll say, you know, I can help you, but you got to follow these prescriptions the way the doctor would. And one of them is, don't miss church. Be in every service. I mean, we only have two a week. There's some that have three. There's some that have more. Be in every service, you know. No matter what, as the old term comes, hell or high water, go to wholly follow the Lord. Amen? This is a surrendered life. This is consecration. The second aspect of a surrendered life is dead to sin. Galatians 5:24, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You know, a few years ago they made a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. It was not a Christian movie. It was not a good movie. It was a bad movie. And don't you just hate it when the devil starts moving into our territory and trying to deceive the people with some kind of abomination against the gospel? And it was all about Jesus on the cross lusting after Mary Magdalene. And I like to tell this story. And as a man, you understand it. As a woman, I'm going to explain it to you. Sometimes men's head are turned by pretty girls. Call lust. We're human. But I can guarantee you, as a man, if you took my hand, laid it on a board, and drove a nail through it, I would not be lusting after a pretty woman, because I would be in excruciating pain. And the flesh there would win out over anything else. So the whole movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, is a farce. It's ridiculous. And, of course, it's an abomination. But they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. You have nailed your flesh to the cross. And in so thinking about that, you are reckoning yourself dead and crucified and nailed to the cross. And that recognition, that thought, is the power to break the temptations of sin in your life. Amen? It's a level of surrender. It's a level of a surrendered life, being dead to sin. Colossians 3:3 tells us, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's kind of interesting to me. My life is hid with Christ in God. You know, we talked a little bit just briefly in Sunday school about the people who follow the Torah or follow all of the Jewish laws. One of the practices they had was they would hide this manna. They would hide it, and the kids would look for it. It was a little hide-and-seek thing. They didn't know it was about Jesus being hidden away for 3 days until the resurrection. They didn't understand all the symbolisms of that. But, you know, just as Jesus was hidden away in the tomb for 3 days before the resurrection, when we become Christians, our life is hidden away with Christ until we get our new bodies the same way. That we're no longer here spiritually, we're there spiritually with Christ. And we're dead to sin. This is a surrendered life. This is how we get victory over sin in our life. We reckon these things to be true based on the scriptures, you know. And when temptation comes, you know, I'm not here, temptation, lust, greed, pride, I'm not here. I am crucified with Christ, and my life is hid with Jesus. And one day I'll get that glorified body. But until then, this is victory over sin. This is the surrendered life. Amen. The third aspect of a surrendered life is fellowship with Christ's death. And it sounds about the same, but it's a little different. Most of us can quote Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, and we do still live the life in the flesh, I live by the faith, and this is where people misquote it, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This morning, I do not live by my faith in the Son of God. Although I do have faith in the Son of God, I live by faith of the Son of God. And when I begin to recognize that the faith that I now have comes from Jesus, isn't that amazing that everything I have is from Jesus? I mean, you can't even get saved without Jesus' faith coming into you. That God gives you that measure of faith. It's all a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man boast. It's all a gift from God, even the faith. And so I give God glory because I can have fellowship with Christ's death because I have the faith of Christ in me. And I can live the surrendered life. And you might say, well, I don't know if I can live the surrendered life. No, you can't. But when the faith of Christ is in you, you can. Amen. When my grandmother passed away, the saint of God she is, they gave me back one of my Bibles I had given her, and in it she had written a note. And in it, and who but someone spiritual could tie two seemingly totally verses that seem like they have nothing to do with each other together, scratched out on a piece of paper, and I carry it in my wallet. And it's the verse where the Apostle Paul is saying, you know, There's war with my members so that the things that I would do, I don't do, and the things I wouldn't do, I do. Oh, wretched man, you know, who's going to deliver me? And then the verse below it was from Joel, let the weak say I am strong. Amen? And so when we face temptation and we're struggling with sin and the devil says you're weak, then you say, no, I'm strong. He said, what, you just did it last night. You stuck your hand in the cookie jar last night. You're weak. No, I'm strong. No, you're weak. No, I'm strong. No, you're a failure. No, I'm strong. No, you're going to blow it again. No, I'm strong. You hear where I'm coming from? You can do it. You can live for Jesus Christ. You can have a surrendered life because you're strong in Him. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Delivered to death for Jesus' sake. You know, when we get saved by faith, we hear the good news that God loves us. We really don't realize what it means to be a Christian. We don't really know at those early days about living a surrendered life. We're babies drinking milk. You don't ask a baby to get up and wash the dishes like you do a teenager, and then they roll their eyes and complain. You never would ask a baby to get out of the baby bed and crawl in there and vacuum the floor. And when we're babes in Christ, God understands what it means to be a baby in Christ. And He just feeds us milk, the milk of the Word. And all we do is just drink it in and we begin to grow. But then there comes a day when we're not babes in Christ anymore. And we recognize to have victory as a Christian, I have to live a surrendered life. And we're always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. But the answer is, why? Why does God ask us to live a crucified life? Why are we always delivered to death? That the life of Jesus would begin to be manifest in our mortal flesh. It's all about looking like Jesus and smelling like Jesus and talking like Jesus and people seeing Jesus in you so that others can come into this faith and drink the milk and grow in the Lord. And then they too live the crucified life, and then they begin to look like Jesus and smell like Jesus and talk like Jesus, that the life of Jesus would be manifested in you and in me, and people would see Jesus in these last days. Amen? And so we have to have a surrendered life. If we're going to be mature in Christ, we have to live a surrendered life. The fourth aspect of a surrendered life is this resignation. When we say resignation, we're talking about accepting God's will regardless of the circumstances. The story in 1 Samuel about Eli. Eli, he had sons who were wicked. He was the prophet. He was the priest of the time. And he let his sons do abominable things, and he refused to correct them. And God warned him. And finally, when little Samuel came to live with him, little Samuel, heard the word of God concerning Eli. And so Eli confronted him. And in 1 Samuel 3:17, he said, "What is the thing the Lord has said to you? I pray you hide it not from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide the thing from me, and all the things he said unto thee." And so Samuel told him all of this, and he hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good." This is what we call resignation. Resignation to God's will, even if it's a whooping. And that's what we're talking about here. Even if you've blown it, and God has to give you a whipping, you don't fight it because you're mature, because you live a surrendered life. You know that God is always good, and if you deserve a whipping, then you say, "Thank you, Lord." I remember one time when my kids were little, I was heading to my mom's house in my 1983 Nissan Sentra. It was a box with wheels back then, you know. And I was going a little heavy-footed, looking forward to going over there, me and the kids visiting Grandma. Next thing I know, I see the red lights. I pull off in a little bank parking lot just a few blocks from my parents' house I grew up in. The cop came out and did his thing and, you know, driver's license, and hands them back to me with a big fat ticket. And I said, "Thank you, officer. I appreciate you doing your job." And we got back there, and the kid's mom was already there. We were meeting at my mother's house. And Harrison was very little at the time. And he's stuttering out his little words and the way little kids do. And mom, and daddy thanked him. And he just couldn't fathom that I would thank this guy for giving me a ticket. But you see, Christians are resigned to allow whatever comes for the better, because God is on the throne, and police officers, the scripture says, are there as constables for the Lord. Amen. And so we have to be resigned to accept whatever punishment God sees fit. Another example, of course, is when David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet told him, you know, that the child was going to die. Well, David knew God was merciful, so he began to fast and pray, and people would encourage David, "Come on, David, you need to eat." "No, I'm not eating, I'm not eating." And this went on for days, and finally the child died. And then David did something that just totally blew him away. He just got up, washed his face. He hadn't washed, you know, combed his hair, anointed his head with oil, sat down a big plate of food like nothing had happened. And they questioned him and said, "David, you know, you're acting this way, and now you're just acting like nothing happened. You're eating and everything's fine." And David said, "Well, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and that the child may live? But now he's dead. Therefore, should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I can go to him, but he can't come to me," right? And so David was resigned to the fact that God gets to make the last decision in life and death and in my life. And when he does, glory to God. It may not be something I like, but he's God, I'm not. And that's the mark of a surrendered life. And finally, Job. Most of us can quote this. You hear this a lot of times at funerals. Job 1:21. "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You really can't be a Christian with a surrendered life until you can praise God in the middle of loss. God gave, God took away. Praise God anyway. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a surrendered life. And of course, Jesus, our great example, in Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. What? Nevertheless, say it with me, not what I will, but what you will. What you will, God. The fifth aspect of a surrendered life is the submission to God's will. When we talk about submitting to the will of God, the first thing we think about is digging in our heels. Because we think, God's going to have me go to a third world country and eat bugs as a missionary or something. You know, there's just this natural inclination to resist submission or surrender to God's will. But God knows his plans towards you, Jeremiah 29:11, plans to give you hope and a future. God is good, amen, all the time. And so we can trust God, and we could submit to God's will. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you're my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the upright. And then in Ephesians 6:6, we're told to, whatever we do, don't do it with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, don't do it to be seen by people. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And finally, in James 4:15, we're told, you know, when we say, you know, I might go up here and go over there, and then I might buy something and sell it and make a profit. And he says, you ought to say, if the Lord lives, we shall live or do this or that. It always needs to come back to the will of God. Amen. And the sixth aspect is the surrendered life is unquestioning service. If God does tell you to go to be a missionary somewhere, you should just say okay. Now again, if you don't have a heart to be a missionary, God's not going to call you to be a missionary. He usually puts something in your heart to begin with. Noah, you know, he tells him to go out in the middle of the field and build a giant boat. You know, they hadn't even seen rain in those days. So to comprehend why you'd build a boat in a field, you might want to build a boat near the ocean or near a river, but why am I going to build a gigantic boat in the middle of the field? But it says that Noah, according to all that God commanded him, just did it. Amen? He just did what God commanded him to do. That's a surrendered life, unquestioning service. In Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? And he said, pick me. Here I am. Send me. He didn't say, well, what's involved? Well, does it require me relocating? What are the benefits of this new job? You know, what kind of benefits do you have, right? He just said, pick me. An unquestioning service to God is a surrendered life. Just, Lord, if that's what you want in my life, that's what I'll do, regardless. And so finally, as we prepare to close, I just want to remind you about a great example of a surrendered life, the life of Joseph. Abraham had his son Isaac, Isaac Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was his favorite. Joseph had a dream. He dreamed the sun and the moon, the 11 stars bowed down and worshipped him, or worshipped this other star. They didn't have trouble interpreting his dream. Father said, well, your mother and I and your brothers are going to worship you, and it kind of ticked his brothers off. You know, if you confess your dreams to some people, it'll tick them off. Because if it's a God-given dream, it will rub against the world and the worldly system. And so he was persecuted by his brothers. He went to look for him, and they found him, and they threw him down in a pit. And they were going to kill him, except for Judah said, "No, guys, don't do this." And so they took his coat of many colors and killed a goat and put the blood on it to go back to Dad and say, "Hey, look what we found. Is this Joseph's coat?" And they end up selling him to some flea market guys going to Egypt. And they took him there, and they sold him into slavery to Potiphar. And he rose quickly up, and, you know, there's that life cycle again. You know, I'm at the top, I'm at the down. And so he's doing pretty good till Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and he refuses. And so he's falsely accused and wrongly imprisoned. And then he sits in a prison for a number of years. And finally he has the opportunity to interpret the dream of the butler. And he could have been very bitter by this point. Listen to what I'm saying. He could have been really bitter at this point in his life, you know? And he didn't ask for any of this. And, you know, unlike many of the Bible heroes, Joseph doesn't have anything negative about him said. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect. He wasn't Jesus. I'm sure he had his own hang-ups. But the Holy Spirit chose not to say anything negative about Joseph. And he's in prison, and he's not bitter. And he ministers to the butler and interprets his dreams. And I put it on the screen here. Had he not ministered to the prison butler, he would not have got to minister to Pharaoh. And when we live a surrendered life, we have to be willing to do what God wants us to do. Totally surrendered. And when we do that, when we obey and minister in our hurting times, God is able to elevate us, and only then, to a place of honor. Amen. And so the place of honor is ours if we have a surrendered life. So I just want to go over these six again. Consecration, dead to sin. Fellowship with Christ's death, resignation, submission to God's will, and unquestioning service. That was what Joseph had. He had unquestioning service. He just kept doing whatever God asked him to do. We don't have a worship leader, but I'm gonna just do something this morning. I'm gonna challenge you, because this would be a really, really poor time not to open the altars and allow you to come up and just ask the Lord to search your heart and see if you have any area of your life that you have not totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all could probably find some place that we could surrender just a little bit more. And so I'm going to sing the chorus, "I Surrender All," for lack of any other kind of music. I apologize in advance. And I would encourage you to just find a place up here and get on your knees and ask the Lord to search your heart and surrender afresh to Him. I surrender all. And if someone comes forward and you don't need to come, come lay a hand on them and pray for them. Don't be bashful. If you can't surrender by coming forward, you're not even close to where you need to be. And I'm not trying to pressure you to come forward. I'm just saying, don't worry about what people are going to think. I surrender all. Sing with me. All to Thee, my Lord and Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to You, my Lord and Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. Yes, we do, Lord. We surrender all. all to you, my Lord and Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. Lord, we surrender right now to you. We allow you to have your way in our lives. We want to be consecrated. We want to submit to God's will. We surrender all. Oh, we surrender all. Is there any area in your life you need to put on the altar this morning? Be sure and do it before you leave. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all. Let's pray. We've got some at the altars here. We're not rushing you, but I'm going to have a closing prayer. I'm going to pray with you that are all at the altar. I'm going to pray with you that are out in the congregation. Just a prayer of surrender right now. Lord, I come to you just as I am. And you know, Lord, it's kind of scary saying that surrender word, because maybe I've done it before and I've failed you. Maybe I've said I would live for you and I've fallen away. But the pastor reminded me that it's not by my faith, it's by yours. And so I receive the faith of Jesus Christ today to totally and completely surrender my life afresh to you. I surrender my will. I surrender my plans. I surrender my desires. And Lord, I just totally lay myself on the altar of God today. My plans for tomorrow are your plans. My plans for the future are your plans. I rest in the knowledge that you love me and will never ask me to do something that I cannot do. I trust you with all my heart. And today, I am consecrated. I am dead to sin. I am resigned and submissive. And I will not question any road you take me down. I am surrendering my life to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.